following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines. It is Tuesday, August the 15th. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. We're thankful for you guys hopping on to the broadcast. Listen, if you're new to the program, this is your first time joining us, first time being with us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Of course, I'm Ricky Scapell, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. And tonight, I want to show you how persecution of the believers is intensifying. All right, for you guys that are watching, or excuse me, for you guys that are listening by Apple or by Spotify, I'm going to be hanging out in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 24. I want to read this kind of as a foundational passage, and then I'm going to share with you three stories. One of these is right here in America that is showing us that the intensification of persecution is arising, and it's growing against believers of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, right here in the scripture, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake." In other words, the government will be involved. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see when that day comes, and it already is here outside the United States, where the government actually gets involved in the persecution of believers. Anyway, he says, "You will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that very hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Verse 21. "Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his own child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death." Now, we have not reached that level here in America, but I believe the longer this thing goes and the longer the Lord delays his coming as we get closer to the tribulation, if the church is not raptured out before we really get into the heart of the tribulation, which I believe we will, but other people have a different point of view. So we're just, again, we're going to let everybody have their own opinion here. But nevertheless, the one thing we can come into agreement with is we will come to a time when hatred towards Christianity and those who follow Jesus will be so rampant and so widespread that it will even cause very households to rise up against one another. And again, outside of America, this is already happening in places that, you know, we don't hear about this a lot. And I'm getting ready to show you one of these stories that doesn't hear happen in America. Verse 22, "You will be hated," excuse me, "by all for my name's sake." So notice, the entire premise of why you'll be hated is for the name of Jesus. "But he who endures to the end will be saved." We got to endure, saints. We got to press through. We got to keep going. "When they persecute you in one city, you'll flee to another. For surely I say to you, now this right here, this passage right here, Jesus was speaking to the Jews of that day. He says, "Surely I say to you, when I have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes," listen, I don't have time. I wish I could really get into this and develop this, and it would take me 30 minutes to do it. But Jesus, when he was speaking to the disciples, he said, "I tell you the truth, there will be some of you that will remain standing here that will not die until you see the coming of the Son of Man from heaven." So there was rumors being spread and speculation. Who's it going to be? And all the disciples began to be martyred. Every one of them, you can go and study this out in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. They got all the way down to John. John was the last apostle. And so they assume this is it. John's alive. He's the only apostle left. That the Lord is getting ready to come back. He's going to split the eastern sky. But John ended up enduring some harsh persecution himself. They boiled him in oil, but he never died. God spared him, protected him supernaturally. And then he was exiled to the island of Patmos in 95 AD, where according to the book of Revelation chapter 1, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Come on. So he was caught up into heaven and saw things that he wrote in his epistle of Revelation. So again, John was alive and he saw the coming of the Son of Man. So it fulfilled the words of Christ. So again, going back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, he says, when they persecute you in one city, flee to another, for surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is what he's referencing here. That the Son of Man is going to reveal himself, and he did. Now, he didn't come back as the second advent or the rapture of the church, but he did. But John saw the coming of the Lord. And by the way, they're still preaching the gospel throughout the cities of Israel. All right, and then I want to go verse 24. Let me pull this back up. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more are they going to call those of his own household? Translation, if they lied on Jesus, ridiculed Jesus, called him names, spat on him, persecuted him, crucified him, how much more are they going to do to the followers of Jesus? Therefore, do not fear them, verse 26, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. All right, now that we've established that, I want to pull up some of these articles. A pastor and his wife and three-year-old son have been jailed on charges of luring innocent people to Christianity. This is from the Christian Post, and this is regarding a pastor and his family in India, where he was jailed for allegedly luring innocent people to Christianity in violation of its, quote, anti-conversion law. And again, I would not be surprised if this ends up coming here to America. We've warned about this for years. In fact, in India, in Uttar Pradesh, this is India's most populous state, where Christians only make up of less than 1% of 200 million. Think about that. 1% of 200 million people in this place in India are Christians. The pastor and his wife were arrested by the police and jailed. And this is the insane part. Along with their three-year-old son, a three-year-old was put in jail. This took place on the 31st of July of this year, after they were accused of hosting a prayer meeting in their home. They're located in a town in India. Even the pastor had denied the allegation that he was luring innocent people to the Christian faith. The family was still arrested for violating, again, this anti-conversion law that was enacted in 2021. Their young son had to be jailed with them because in India, children up to 6 years old are frequently forced to live with their incarcerated parents, especially their own mothers. Even though India's constitution guarantees religious freedoms to all persons, the state legislators explained in a copy of the law that their anti-conversion statute was necessary to, quote, protect gullible persons. In the recent past, many such examples have come to light where gullible persons have been converted from one religion to another by misrepresentation, force, undue influence, coercion, allurement by fraudulent means. This is all according to the state legislators. The report went on to indicate that violators of this law can be punished with a prison term of 5 years and fined $15,000 15,000 Indian, I believe that's rupees, or $180. So are you kidding me? So are they going to keep this three-year-old in prison for 5 years with his parents? This is crazy. Quote, punishments are enhanced if an individual converts or attempts to convert a minor, a woman, or person belonging to a scheduled caste or tribe, or if a mass conversion and a contravention of Section 3 takes place, that would be like a conference, the former is punishable by prison terms between 2 and 10 years and a fine of at least $300, and the latter is punishable by prison terms between 3 and 10 years and $600. The report went on to say that Christian leaders told UCA that on July 30th, 15 Christians, including 3 pastors, were arrested and jailed in separate incidences. So again, see, we don't understand this, guys, because we live in America. We live in the West. That we're not seeing this type of harsh persecution yet. But again, I've always said these are the storm clouds that are brewing and showing us that there's real trouble ahead, because this is an indicator of what's coming here, even to the West. I got another story for you. Now, this story comes out of Uganda. This is from faithwire.com. I'm going to try to use my words wisely here, because I understand we don't want the content to be taken down. So you guys that are watching this visibly, you can see what I'm reading. For you guys that are listening by Apple or by Spotify, I'm going to use a different verbiage here. Muslim radicals reportedly stone, we'll use the word persecute, a pastor unconscious. They rip pages from his Bible, all because he shared Jesus during a funeral. Again, the following report comes from a funeral in Uganda where a Christian pastor was reportedly flogged unconscious on the 21st of July while officiating a funeral. According to Morningstar News, Pastor Davidson Akori, 39 years of age, told Morningstar News that Muslims hurled stones at him and then flogged him after he spoke about Muhammad and Christ, differentiating the power ministry of the latter from the former and explaining the importance of Jesus's resurrection. Woo, he stirred a hornet's nest there. Quote, the deceased being a Muslim who converted to Christianity, quote, I carried with me the Quran, Hadith of Bukhari, and the Bible to show to the mourners the fact of the unique and powerful resurrection of Jesus as the Son of God. Well, right, that right there, again, to Islam is blasphemy because they believe that God has no son. It's written in the Quran and in their Hadith. It's even in the in Mecca, in the temple there, where they do the Hajj once a year. It's even written inside there that God, Allah has no son. So this, for him to say this, this is what enticed this. But then he took it further and said that Muhammad was merely just a prophet of Allah, and he did not resurrect, or he was not raised from the dead. Again, making a distinction between Yeshua and Muhammad. The preacher who serves at Covenant Church of God in Bowinji, I believe how you pronounce it, called the opportunity a, quote, good platform for me to witness the love of Christ to Muslims who gathered at the funeral. Man, think about that, guys. Here is a man who had already counted the cost. He knew what it was going to cost him. When he opened his mouth and made such declarations, he already knew what the result was going to be, but he knew that he had an obligation as a believer that he could not keep his mouth shut. Jeremiah said, it was like a fire that was shut up in my bones and I could not contain it. This reminds me of Stephen. When Stephen stood before the council in the book of Acts, right there in front of Saul of Tarsus, and he began to rebuke the religious pharisaical leaders of his day, and he began to rebuke them of the bloodshed that they had shed from all the prophets all the way leading up to his time. And they became so angry at Stephen that they stoned him for dead. And Saul consented to it and even took the very coat of Stephen This is what this reminds me of. And while Stephen was being stoned, the Bible says he looked and he stared and gazed into heaven, where he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. And he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing." So this man saw an opportunity to witness the love of Christ to Muslims who had gathered at the funeral, but obviously not everyone appreciated his efforts. As he began to preach the Christian gospel, he said someone called him an infidel. They accused him of blasphemy, and then all chaos broke loose. Quote, "When I started mentioning verses from all these books, I heard a young man shouting, 'You infidel, stop misleading us. If you came to bury your people, bury them, but don't use the Quran without getting ablution. This is blasphemy to our Allah.' Then, according to the report, others began to join in and reportedly began tearing pages from his Bible." Wow. Tearing pages. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's right. They were doing the same thing here in America at a... Oh, that's right. If that sounds familiar, that's exactly what occurred here in America at the Satan Con that was held in Boston. Remember this? So again, I'm telling you guys, just because we read about this overseas, we think that the America and the West is exempt from this kind of persecution. I'm telling you, that's a prelude of what's coming. It's coming here to America. It's already here in legislations and whispers behind closed doors and through social media censorship and all this stuff. It's here, but not on that level, but it's coming. Now, this next story is out of Wisconsin, here in America. You got to hear this story. If you've not heard this, this may be shocking to you. But again, this is not India. This is not Uganda. This is in America. Watch this.
Marcus, you have been going viral over the past couple of days. There was an event over the weekend, a pride event in your town, in Watertown, Wisconsin, there, where you were there preaching the gospel in protest of this event. Take us through what happened. You were arrested during that.
Yeah, so we came there, as you said, you know, we're there to preach the gospel, have a public witness against the Drag Queen Story Hour that was going on, which actually more and more recently, over the last like year and a half or so, 2 years, these drag queen story hours are less story hours and more drag queen dance hours. And so that's what they were doing. They had, you know, drag queens dancing for the kids. And so I turned on my speaker. I was on the public sidewalk, started reading from Galatians 5, which is just a passage about what true love is. And as I was reading from Galatians 5, almost the moment I turn on my speaker and I start reading from the Bible, a bunch of police officers started coming around, and without saying anything to me, no warning, nothing like that, an officer just comes up and starts grabbing my arm, twisting my arm to try and grab the microphone away from me. And then a few moments later, an officer behind me grabs my other arm, and they handcuff me and they take me away. And what?
Again, so it's okay for transgenders to dance in very provocative ways, half naked in front of children. And even during pride parades, there was men out there in the streets, completely nude in front of children. And the police do nothing about that. That's completely okay and permissible. But this man, this young man, is literally just reading a passage out of Galatians about true love, the true love of God. He's not calling people out. He's not being hateful about nothing. And this deems, so this constitutes a reason for him to be arrested? Are you kidding me? Again, this is where we're at in America.
They ended up charging me with was amplification without a permit and then resisting arrest.
Wow.
So before we get into those claims against you, was this your first interaction with the cops that day? Had they warned you before? Had you interacted with them before they came over to you?
There had been a little bit of interaction, but nothing with the amplification, no warnings, nothing like that. The amplification, in the video that has gone viral, essentially what has happened is, you know, there are some people who see that section where the officer is like, oh, this is the same speaker as before. So some are like, oh, is this something that they had been warned about? That's not the case. We hadn't been warned about it. The reason why he mentioned that was because earlier that day, one of the guys who was with us had that speaker with him, and he was walking into the Drag Queen Story Hour. They had like a fenced in area that they had a permit for. And so he was walking in there. He didn't have this amplification on. He wasn't using it or anything like that. But an officer essentially came up and said that he couldn't have it inside the fence because they had a permit for that area, and then told him that he had to take it out of the fence.
Now, guys, in case, look, what you know what that is? That is exactly what they've already passed in Canada. We talked about this on previous podcasts. Let me read this to you. Canadian law would ban offensive remarks near drag performances. Members of the Ontario Legislative Assembly, and check out the members here. Look at this. I mean, is this looks like a Barnum and Bailey recruiting center. Seriously, I mean, look at these guys. What is that? A Grand Wizard? You've got, looks like a former WWE wrestler. You've got a Cyndi Lauper lookalike. This is absolute insanity. These are members of the Ontario Legislative Assembly that have pushed a bill that would create what's called 25 LGBTQI+ community safety zones, where offensive remarks about gay people would be prohibited within 100 meters and could lead to a fine of up to $25,000. So honestly, guys, it literally sounds like this is what we're seeing here. It's kind of the breadcrumbs of this, the preludes to that very legislation coming here to America.
And so he took it out of the fence, and then a few hours later, I started using it for the first time, and I was using it outside the fence on the public sidewalk away from their permitted area, the area that they had gotten the permit for. And so, you know, in compliance with the only criteria that he had mentioned earlier. And as soon as I started doing that, you know, there was no warnings. That was our first time using the amplification all day. No warnings. That's when the officer just came up and started ripping the microphone from my hand.
So they handcuff you. What happened after that? Did they take you to the police station? Take us through sort of the events that followed.
Yeah, they took me off to this building that they had kind of had a police headquarters kind of set up for the park that day in this park building. I stayed there for probably 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that. Was talking with a few of the officers back and forth. Was just trying to get information, you know, why I was being arrested, what laws I broke, things like that. And then they took me to the police station, got my information, put me on the record, things like that. And then they gave me two citations, the two that I mentioned, the amplification and then resisting arrest. And then they let me free. But what they said was that they had a restriction that they put on that was that I, for the next 2 weeks, I'm not allowed to be on or be by any Watertown public parks. And if I am, you know, I'm going to be automatically arrested again and charged with state charges.
Wow.
So you were given these citations. What does that mean? Do you go to court from here? What's sort of the next step in this process? Is it a fine or do you actually have to go through a legal process from here?
Yeah, I'm planning on taking it to court. And so the fine for the citations was like $500 for resisting arrest and then almost $200 for the amplification without a permit. And so I do plan on taking it to court. I've had a few law firms reach out and things like that. They want to take my case. So
that's interesting. So they arrest you, they give you a citation. So this wasn't a situation where you where they're going to make you show up to court. Now they basically gave you the citation. You owe them money over this. And then you though are going to challenge this. Is that correct? That's sort of the correct framing.
Yep. Just like a normal ticket. Like, you know, if you wish, you can show up to court, but you know,
That's what's so interesting to me. I think, you know, hearing the story, and I don't know what the local laws and ordinances are there. You know, why were you not just fined? Why were you arrested too? I think that's the right, because, you know, if somebody's speeding, they're not arrested. They're given
to set an example to others. That's why.
And they're given a fine, right? So that is, I mean, as far as you know, is that common practice in an event like this?
By the way, they did that to the apostles in the book of Acts. Read it. It's in there all through the, when you read the book of Acts, the apostles were arrested. They were made examples of. They were strictly warned, don't preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore, or stricter punishment will come. And I mean, you see this. So again, it's interesting. We're seeing this all come full circle. We're coming back to the book of Acts. This is exciting. On one hand, I know people are like, oh my gosh, we're seeing persecution. We could see people fined in jail for preaching about Jesus. But guys, this is how the early church started. The early church, they didn't gather in large mega churches because of the fear of persecution. The persecution was so bad, they had to meet in small homes and underground. This is why the, you know, in places like China and Iran and North Korea, there's these underground churches for this reason. And we just don't, this is all alien to us because we don't understand it because we've never experienced this level of persecution.
Not that I'm aware of. That's, you know, I've been to many different events like this and never even come close to being arrested. And so, you know, I've had many interactions with the police about amplification on public sidewalks. And so we typically know the codes. Each city is a little different. So Watertown was a little different than some of the other cities I've been to on what that exactly looks like. But typically what happens is an officer will come up to us and be like, hey, look, you have to turn the decibel level down. It'll typically be something like that. Or they'll say, you know, you can't do this here. But, you know, every once in a while an officer will be like, but if you, you know, walk over and cross the street there, you can do it over there. Sometimes it's just little things like that. But we'll have that discussion with them. This time, you know, none of that happened. It was, you know, no warning, nothing like that.
And, you know, reports say there were three other people. There were a number of other people who were arrested alongside you. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah. Not
and what happened to them?
Yeah, not at that same time. They were taken earlier that day and they weren't handcuffed or taken to the station or anything like that. They were just escorted off the park. And two of them received citations and one was let free. And
interesting.
One of the ones that had received a citation, I think it was for disorderly conduct. And all he was doing was walking around trying to get on video what the drag queens were doing to the children. And as he was doing that, there were some people, some LGBTQ people who came up and started harassing.
So, of course, we can't have that. We can't let the world know what they're seeing. We can't expose that. So we can't get that on video. We can't have that out there. So, wow, it's again, what did Isaiah say? The days would come when light would be darkness, darkness would be light, evil would be good, and good would be called evil. There would be no distinction. This is where we're at, friends.
Him, and if you watch the video, that video, you know, he tries to avoid them, walks around them, they start following him and harassing him, and the officers come up and actually arrest him and take him off of the park and find him with disorderly conduct when you can clearly see in the video it was the other side that was harassing.
I mean, in your view, because one of the citations was resisting arrest, in your view, were you resisting arrest? I mean, was this something, and I'm sure that it was stunning in the moment or shocking in the moment as you were going through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I didn't resist arrest at all. I mean, if you watch the video, the officer grabbed my arm from behind and started, you know, he was putting it in an uncomfortable position. My muscles tensed up. Any tensing of my muscles was a natural reflex. I wasn't expecting to get arrested. So I wasn't expecting someone to grab me from behind. There was no warning beforehand. All of a sudden my arm is just grabbed and they start handcuffing me. But if you watch the video, I didn't try to pull away. I didn't go limp. I didn't, you know, none of that. Anything that would really classify as resisting arrest, I didn't do that. And then when I asked one of the officers why I was being charged with resisting arrest, he just simply said, because your muscles tensed up, which again was just a natural reflex.
Let me ask you this on a human level, because getting arrested, I would imagine, is a stressful moment for anybody. Was this hard for you? What was this like emotionally, right? In those moments, you had shown up, you were doing what you were there to do. This arrest happens. You're there for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. You get the citations. What was it like going through that emotionally for you?
It was a little surprising. I wasn't expecting it. It wasn't hard. I mean, it was a little uncomfortable the way that put the handcuffs on. But honestly, what they were meaning to do for evil, what they were doing to try and silence us from protesting, from preaching, things like that, God has used it for great good, has kind of spread the word out there about that. So I think there's much good that has come from it. But yeah, that's my thoughts.
Well, and so you then, after this happened, you showed up and you spoke at city council. And so that there's another video going around of you delivering the gospel. And you're talking about a number of other topics, which we can break down.
Wow. See, again, interesting because, again, what did it say here? They will deliver you up. Remember, it says, beware of men. They will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake. And as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, don't worry about what you're going to say, for it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you.
Down in a second here, but you spoke. What led you to want to go and be at that meeting and speak in that way?
Well, I knew that there were going to be some LGBTQ activists there, and I knew that a lot of Christians were gathering. And right about this is when my first video of being arrested was going around quite a bit. And so I thought it would be good to go there to just kind of, you know, I was at the event. I was the one, the main one arrested. You know, I was the one handcuffed and taken to the station and things like that. And so I thought it would be good for me to be able to testify before the city council. Here's what actually happened at this event. Because I know that there's going to be, you know, different sides trying to say different perspectives on what happened just at the event. And so I thought it would be good there to just try and set the record straight and tell people why we were there and what happened. And also call for the city council to not allow events like this anymore, where they have drag queens doing this kind of thing in front of kids.
And, you know, how is the community reacting there? Because you obviously went to that meeting. This video has gone viral. This is no longer a Wisconsin issue, right? It's a national issue because people are talking about it and they're seeing the videos and the clips and they're trying to make sense of it. Lots of debate and discussion. But how is the community there reacting to that attention and what happened to you?
Yeah, I've received a lot of mixed, actually not a ton of mixed report, but I've actually mostly it's all been support. I've gotten a lot of messages over Facebook and things like that on social media of people saying, I'm a Watertown resident. Thank you so much for being out here. I haven't actually received any from Watertown residents that were against what I did online. I did talk to a few Watertown residents at the meeting who were, I actually talked to the organizer of the Drag Queen Story Hour. Him and I actually had a good conversation for like probably an hour and a half or so. And so, you know, we were just discussing our differences, talking back and forth. We had a nice civil discussion. So
after your arrest, that conversation happened
after my arrest, after the city council meeting. And but online and things like that, all the Watertown residents who have contacted me have all been in support of me and my group. And then also at the city council, I'd say there would probably be about 40 to 50 Christians and I guess conservative people gathered there on my side of the issue, and then maybe 5 to 10 LGBTQ activists. So that's what it's looking. That's the thing I've seen personally into what the layout is there.
All right, guys, there you have it. So again, we got persecution that again is picking up. This is not the first time we've read about this, that we've seen this in America. And we all know that we're going to have to prepare to be, this is going to become a normal thing. I have no questions about that. I don't doubt for a moment that if this will not be a regular thing, you're going to start seeing us more and more and more. And again, don't be surprised when you see those legislations like we showed you in Canada and Uganda and places like that coming over here. And it's going to put a stronger clamp. It's going to put a tighter clamp on believers, on Christians, when they try to speak out the word of God and they try to preach the gospel and they speak out against things that the Bible calls an abomination. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's going to be our landing page. That's where you can go and check us out. If you've not downloaded our free app, it's available on Apple and Android devices. Again, you can download it. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be ready to go. Be notified of every headline, every news, everything that we sent out. It's going to be right there at your fingertips. So that's why we want to encourage you to download the free app. And as always, guys, we appreciate you so much. Guys, you know, as you know, our ministry has been under a heavy attack. Myself, physically, I am just holding on to the Lord, holding on to the promises of God, and this too shall pass. We're going to get through this valley. We're going to come out on the other side stronger than ever before, and we're going to continue to preach the gospel. So I appreciate and covet your prayers and your intercessions. Thank you for the power of agreement. And it means so much to me and my family. So we love you guys. Listen, if you'd like to support this ministry, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or you can do it by check or money order. You can make it out right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, we love you guys and we appreciate you. Again, thank you for taking the time. Hit that push notification, that like button, subscribe. This pushes our content out on the algorithm so that it can be out there and be seen. So don't forget to do that today. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight, but we'll be back soon and have another great segment with you. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.